Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 272. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
That was us, briefly.
Okay.
I was briefly watching us.
I should double check to make sure our stream is actually going okay. Because we have a new camera, and at least a new setup. We have an old camera, and now we have a capture device for that camera.
Okay, I can put us back on my phone, and we can listen to us while we're going out.
I had some McDonald's earlier, and I'm regretting every minute of it.
So
it's like I'm not loving
it more or less than me for reading this article.
It tastes funny too.
I want to bring up further etymology from Wikipedia, not just breasts and hell, but why is it a universal, intergalactic thing that snakes are untrustworthy monsters? Because in Rogue One, they refer to DJ, which stands for don't join, as a duplicitous snake.
Or disc jockey.
Well, so that's a thing, because in the Disney Star Wars like cantina restaurant, they had an actual DJ that was like DJ Rocket Pack or whatever. And
is that
he was
another
the
Lucas
disc
name?
Jockey. And so now, canonically, DJ means don't join. So was the musician from the Disney cafe also a double-crossing traitor?
Yeah.
So the
also
question
snakes like
okay, so the
question, are they on a plane?
So the question is that the when the people in the Star Wars universe speak English, are they A, actually speaking English, B, is it a direct translation from the language they're speaking, or C, is it an idiomatic translation from the language they're speaking? Because if it's C, then of course it's definitely reasonable that they could translate whatever idiom in whatever language they're speaking as untrustworthy as a snake. Because
they call them a duplicitous bantha.
Yeah.
Banthas are famously backstabby.
Yeah, and a translator translating that from their language into English would say, well,
never trust a bantha, Andy. Yeah. It's well known.
I'll translate that into a duplicitous snake instead, because it makes more sense to the English audience.
So you're saying that that Star Wars, we're not seeing them in their original. We're seeing dubbed.
It's not even their final form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so
it's a dub. Everything.
I need
it's
someone who speaks Chinese to watch. What's that movie? You know,
Firefly.
The one.
Serenity.
No, not the one.
Kung Fu Hustle.
No, obviously not that one. Hard Boiled. I need someone who speaks Chinese to watch the original version of Hard Boiled and explain one line to me, because the character lives above a jazz restaurant, and one of his friends says, well, at least you'll get a lot of sax there, which is a bad pun about saxophones versus sexual activity, and I'm desperately curious what the original Chinese pun was there.
A jazz restaurant? As in they serve jazz?
Or they play jazz.
Okay.
Do they split jazz in half in that? Can we tell it's jazz?
Southern restaurants don't serve Southerns.
Do they?
But they serve Southern style cuisine. So the restaurant, does that mean that the restaurant serves jazz style cuisine?
I mean, it's
Southern jazz?
Does the Hard Rock Cafe serve hard rocks?
Well, have you eaten there?
Have you?
I mean, seriously, have you eaten there?
Fair. The point is, I need to know what that original joke was.
Sure.
We have War Machine Talk to start with, so that we're technically a War Machine podcast.
Do we? Oh, there's a CID that just went up.
Oh, yeah, the Archons, which was a great NES game. PC version was good, too, but I played the fuck out of the NES game.
I'm so sorry. That smells.
Keep it over there. But Archons.
Yeah. Archon is actually pretty awesome, yeah.
I love
the shifting tile effect where the tiles would slowly go into a different color, and then it would become advantageous to be the other color when you go fight on a tile.
Mm. And that all five of the power points required to win were on those shifting colors, so there was no advantageous one. It would have almost been interesting if your home one stayed your own color all the time. And just the middle three shifted. But
I have Archon.
They're all shifty.
I have the NES version. I could hook it up to the TV.
Then I would just play Archon. I wouldn't anything. Yeah, no, that's fine.
So
I would just do Archon.
That's the cool thing, though, about that streaming device, though, is I can hook up some older systems, and that anything that's got an HDMI output and then immediately stream it out.
Yeah, they have a problem with that with the NES.
I mean, if we daisy chain enough converters,
no, I got a converter for my NES hook it up to HDMI.
Archons, they suck and they're too expensive. And says because everybody always plays in theme ports, says nobody will ever use them.
They're not included in themes at all.
Some of them, right? I mean, I don't know if this will last forever. You use up. Well, no.
Unless your mercs are minions, in which case, well,
I mean, they fixed that part.
They added that into certain themes. You can still take a primal archon free in Bones of Ouroboros, which seems good. I looking at it from perspective of building ret lists, I think the void archon is a reasonable merc slot inclusion. But then again, I also think the void archon is by far the best of them.
I will say, just because it needs to be said as often as possible, and it's topical to this, that if you're playing Krix, for example, you build your theme force with any and all legal models, and then you get to bring one merc or minion model that is not listed amongst your legal models. If you're playing Signar, you get to build your theme force with all legal models, and then you get to bring one merc or minion model that is not in your legal models.
Depending on which Signar.
If you're playing Kador, you get to build your theme force with all your legal models, and then you get to bring one merc or minion that is not listed amongst your legal models.
I think I know where this is going.
Mercs, you build your theme force with all your legal models, and then you go fuck yourself.
That's where it was going, yeah.
Bullshit. If you're playing minions, you build your theme force with your list of legal models, and then you go fuck yourself. Mercs and minions should be allowed one off book, the same as every other faction is allowed. It's bullshit that they're more restricted on merc minion usage than the other factions are.
Well, okay, then I want my Cephalix to have those options too.
Don't they?
No.
Well, doesn't their theme force just let you bring like a unit of your choice?
What do you mean? No.
The theme force just like grab a unit of your choice. Now it's yours. I thought that was in there.
No,
you can put a dominator on it.
Yeah, you have to. You have to take a dominator on it.
Those archons, aren't they solos?
Well, I'm not talking about. I mean, sure. Okay, now if we're going back to Archon specific, I was going more broadly about the fact that blanket rule in the game for some reason does not apply to mercs and minions. Yeah.
I guess it's still not a faction. It sucks from that perspective, but from building lists from the other factions, typically it's like you're choosing a support solo out of a large list of them, and then mercs can choose from the same list and pick any number of them.
No, they really fucking can.
Well, okay, mercs can. Really can. Minions are fucked.
Yes. I was saying mercs,
because it's like mercs still has some of the Ocean's 11 builds because there are a lot of merc solos that are force multipliers.
It's okay. Minions are just fucked. Privilege over here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me speak from someone who doesn't suffer from what you're going through and explain why it doesn't matter.
It's all fine, Nathan. I know how we'll solve this. We'll make it so that we can't take effort scouts for free anymore.
God damn! You took my effort scouts away from me. They're like one of the only good things about Thornfall.
Well, I mean, that was just in Will Work for Food. I mean,
yeah,
that was,
I guess you can take them in Thornfall. Yeah, but Will Work for Food, just fuck you, effort scouts.
I mean, that was confirmed intentional by Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Souls. Oh, fuck you, Souls.
But I was just trying to point out that it's like mercs have less of this problem because most of their themes are good. It's just minions specifically that are fucked. It's just minions.
Why'd you take my effort scouts away, Souls? why'd you make my pig's crank dial suck, Souls?
Oh, fucking hell.
Are we gonna talk about how bad pig beasts are again?
No. It's Souls' fault.
No, I was just I was checking out the stream. And so I put on my headphones, and immediately it was the commercial for Reese's with the bunny and the peanut butter, and it was playing Let's Get It On.
Sure.
But it started off with that, and as soon as I put the headset on, I looked up, and I saw you guys, and you were just arguing with each other, and the music was playing. I couldn't take it.
like this was like, you know, pre-makeup sex fighting.
And now you get to hear that story again, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Archon CID, apart from the fact that, you know, Souls hates me, what else do we have to say about him?
I suspect we're going to see some buffs to the Archons coming up this week. And by buffs that might include just having them count for free points or count for free points in some themes, because for the most part, I think that's really the only thing they need. There are a couple of exceptions. As I said, I think the Void Archon is the Void Archon because it has an it has a really good gun and has a force multiplier. I think it's going to be worth its points in some builds.
Obviously, the Troll Archon is overly good because it has Martyrdom.
Troll Archon is good. The Troll Archon can also be taken free in, I think, two different themes.
Troll players say that the Troll Archon is garbage.
I mean, it has been a long-standing statement of the Cryptid System podcast that most Troll players are bad at writing lists.
I mean, also, Quimby thinks the Dunian Archon is pretty good.
And so it's bad. Okay.
I'm just saying Quimby has this idea that everything in Trolls is terrible, but so he likes it, so it's probably
more
playable.
Important, every opinion Quimby has is usually wrong. And he's not bent. They look like they're jointed. Or is that just the assembly point of the different plastic?
The Primal one is great in Bones.
Sorry, that's topical. Yeah.
The Primal one is great in Bones because it's even though it is a merc slot, you can take it as a free model. I think that since they removed most of the other ones, I think that's going to change. And I'm not sure you take it in that situation if it does not either count if it doesn't count for free points.
I was going to say something and now I forgot. True story. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, the Primal one is pretty decent for 9 points. It has 3 AoE knockdown melee attacks. It's steady, it's sturdy, and it has countercharge. It's just that 9 points of your only 15 actual flexible points in most lists is a big ask. What else? As I said, the Void one is amazing because it has dual attack, it has 2 melee attacks, and after it kills something, it can teleport 8 inches. So you can charge something, punch it to death, trigger the teleport 8 inches, line up a spray hose stuff down because you presumably just collected soul tokens, and it can use soul tokens to boost. And since it has dual attack, you can be engaged and still get your spray off.
And does it teleport only when it kills with melee?
Teleports when it kills with anything, so you can
so
spray
then after
something
the spray
and then
it gets to teleport away.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Oh, it only gets to teleport once per turn.
Per turn, not per attack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you couldn't charge, kill, teleport, spray, teleport.
Yeah. But I mean, I think for the most part is that if you charge something, kill it, and then teleport to get the spray, that spray is going to be worth the model dying horribly next turn because of the flexibility you have on it, and it has Dark Shroud, so you can charge something, kill something, spray something, and then teleport into melee with a colossal, and then kill it with the rest of your army.
Sure.
So I mean the Void Archon seems really good, and I think there are going to be a number of builds where it is good taking up your 15 your 15 actual flexible points. The other ones I'm not sure are at that level, with the possible exception of the Primal. And
Optimus Primal?
Sure. And the Dunian one seems to be pretty solid. Solid in Trolls. The Midnight Archon is bad.
KSO.
Yeah,
how so? I mean, instead of just saying bad, I mean, what's so bad about it?
So he's a melee beat stick in a faction that can take melee beat sticks for cheaper?
Okay. Basically, he's an inferior version of a champion of the Order of the Wall, because it's
or an inferior version of a dervish.
What about the Kiki monks?
Oh, they do completely different things, and it's much worse than a Kiki monk. Kiki monks are broken as hell, but
Kiki monks,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want you to. I mean, they're the ones that run around not actually doing anything but saying "hit me." Yeah, that kinky.
I had a red one of those, and it's not there anymore.
It's gone. I have no idea where it went.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you have to go to a dollar store and get some more.
But that one won't have the emotional connection.
Are you sure?
You will be able to rebuild.
Yeah.
Fair.
But, I mean, basically the Midnight Archon is speed 6. It does fly. It does fly, and it gets +2. It gets +2 speed if it's charging something that's on fire.
Is that one the Age of Sigmar model? Which one
probably
was the Age of Sigmar model?
The one that looks like it's directly lifted from it.
Yes.
I think so.
Like, the it's one where the concept art is literally...
It's either that or the Mormon one. I can't remember
which one. It looks fucking pretty in either version. I mean, they're both ridiculous
I mean,
models.
It also turns out there's only so many ways you can come up with angel with wings. Burning and angel. And sword.
Yeah. And, yeah, armor and yeah. shooting a bow. Yeah. Sure.
But, so, I mean, basically, it ends up with having... It ends up with two Weapon Master attacks. They're like PAL 14 and 13. And the PAL 13 has Dispel on it. And Dispel is good in a lot of factions. But, I mean, if you want to run it in Protectorate, you don't really need to worry about Dispel. But so, for the most part, it's just...
How much is it? Is it 7 points?
Eight points.
8 points.
Yeah. Quick thing.
It's very directly comparable to a Champion of the Order of the Wall, and the Champion of the Order of the Wall, I think, is better, especially because you can martyr the Champion of the Order of the Wall, and they changed the rules so you cannot martyr the Benight Archon.
Fair.
Quick question. Are these actually going to be something that's going to be available from now on? These are new models from now on for the game?
Yep.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Them and a bunch of Morrowind stuff.
Yeah, like they're obviously timed with their release to be counter play for when Infernals come out because they have a lot of anti-Infernal tech, but they are normal models. Same with like how all the Riot Quest stuff will be normal playable models.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, based on, I mean, albeit reports from the most fanboy of Privateer Press fanboys ever, but based on initial reports, Riot Quest is as good as its trailer was bad.
Yep. Yeah, it's a trailer.
Which is glowing. Glowing review. God, that trailer was bad.
We could probably put it up on the TV behind us. You don't even need the audio from it, but the audio is.
My favorite part is when you didn't believe that was actually a trailer.
Yeah, I was like, good joke, guys. Where's the real one?
Yeah.
Holy shit, it was.
It wasn't any better live the first time.
Yeah, well, that was the best part. Was when we showed Andy and we told him how bad it was, and he didn't believe us. And then we showed it to him, and it was great.
Wait, what?
That was me.
Yeah, that was you. Oh, okay.
No, I'm the one who showed it because I think I was the only one who saw it.
I watched it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Really bad Quest.
Oh, really bad.
It is really bad.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued to see what it is. I mean, it looks like it's a hex based skirmish game. Was it hex based?
Yeah, it's hex based.
Yeah. Okay,
it's either hex or squares. Those are the two shapes that work.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it looks. I mean, some of the pictures I saw of it looked pretty cool. I didn't watch any of the streams at all because I'm sure they probably went into more details about the game. But I'm sure Travis will share it on every single forum possible.
No. I guess triangles.
I was going to say you can title plane with triangles as well.
Yeah,
but no one does.
Yeah,
I mean, it has to be acute triangles.
You're acute. No, equilateral triangles would nest.
Equilateral
triangles would nest.
Yeah. You can build pentagrams and hexagons.
Yeah, that's what I want to see is because you can. There are a lot of things if you take two separate shapes. There are a lot of things you can tile plane with.
Sure,
so
I want to
see a game.
Well, the problem
based
is if
on
you
that.
Switch pentagons and hexagons together, then it turns into a dove.
Should put it all in a giant puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, octagons and squares, or they'd be diamonds rotationally, whichever. So like those obviously tile.
Yeah.
Triangles will tile with themselves, as will hexagons and squares. Pentagons will not tile with themselves. I think just triangles, squares, and hexagons.
Yeah, I say pentagons cause it to curve, because that's how you get a geodesic dome.
Right, right. But on a two-dimensional plane, you couldn't have a purely hexagonal tile structure.
Now I want a game on a geodesic dome.
Yep.
Sure. I have recently gone to pointing out when things are flattened two-dimensional toruses, because that is a far more accurate and enjoyable way to describe a square that wraps. Like when you're flying around on the map in Final Fantasy VII, and when you go off the top, you come up the bottom. That map's not a square. That map is a flattened two-dimensional torus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the Earth is?
No, that is what a donut is. Well, a donut is a three-dimensional torus, as is. So if you were to cut a donut and flatten it, you would then get something that looks like a square, but it's a flattened two-dimensional torus.
So Riot Quest seems kind of neat, though.
I mean, Riot Quest.
The models, at least the models look pretty decent.
Tile a plane with triangles and dodecagons. So game designers get to it.
Well, triangles and dodecagons together.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of things where you can have two different shapes. Yeah. I'm only interested in a unishape.
There are only three. There
it
are
is squares, only squares, triangles, and hexagons. No, yes. Like, oddly, like, tridecahedrons will do it for an inexplicable reason. It's just those three, huh?
It's just those three with regular polygons.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's possible.
Well, it's sure, because if you look at Escher painting drawings, there's a lot of, like, birds and shit that you can get full on mosaic tiling, but
I think if you allow irregular polygons, it's infinite, I believe.
All right,
but
there's an interesting thing where, like, God, is it 5, 8? There's some extremely low number of colors where it is impossible to make a two dimensional plane such that many colors.
Yeah, the four color problem.
I didn't want to finish my sentence anyway.
It's a Riot Quest.
Riot Quest.
Riot.
Yeah, what were you saying about Riot Quest?
I was saying that it seems like it was an inside joke for like weeks and months before they made that original trailer.
Like 2 days before.
Yeah.
Lock-on mode.
Yeah. Well, no, that trailer, it looked like it took somebody, you know, a long time.
Flash programming.
A long time to do. Because it was hearkening back to the days of, like, Rataskull and...
It looked like the kind of... Yeah, I mean, sometimes humor doesn't translate to a wider audience. Like you said, it might have been an inside joke around the office that they thought... They all thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So they thought that everyone think it was funny.
And now Sheck doesn't work there anymore.
Coincidence.
You saying Riot Quest did him in?
We were saying that trailer might have.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, 90% of things that Privateer Press did wrong might have been directly traceable to Sheck, but...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. All I know is that, did you see that...
So speaking of that, have they made a good digital decision yet?
I mean, they haven't made a new bad one. That's already better.
They shut down the web. I mean, they had the website under construction for like 2 weeks, and then they put up this horribly mediocre front page.
Yeah, that's
and
better
everything,
than the old one.
Well, and everything that it links to is to the old website.
Sure. Well, like I said... Their new web page, even under construction, even the under construction page was better than the old one.
It's just the front page. It's just the front page. Everything links to stuff on the old on the old page.
Yeah, I mean, but at least it's a more attractive front page.
And you can now find insiders.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is better and more functional than the old one.
This is true.
So there you go. They have made a good digital decision.
And they decided, well, so far they have not decided to have Tinkerhouse make a Monpok app. And a good not doing something cast account as doing something good.
Yeah. Also, let me just say that fixing everything on the Oblivion CID for Conflict Chamber is literally the second largest game change in the entirety of Mark III. But I mean, the initial big theme drop required more work, but this has been more work than everything except that. So
get it done. Why isn't it up the same day? Why is it up within an hour of
what are we paying you for?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Just like six new models today.
It's the themes, just because I was looking at the document, and it's like, shit, every assumption I'd made about themes before is wrong. So I had to rewrite a bunch of the theme engine, and so it took me a couple of days. Well, I mean, it was yesterday until everything was finally up and fixed.
Did all your troubles seem so far away?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Surprised nobody has yelled at me to make cards.
Yeah. So I am looking forward to this actually going live, and I'm wondering how long it's going to be before it's actually supported with any modicum of practicality in War Room. Because as far as I know, War Room still does not have the Merc inclusion rule correct from the initial theme drop.
Well, you know.
But what is the Merc inclusion rule?
Get one Merc with your theme force?
Yeah.
Because they let you get full field allocation for Mercs if you do it in War Room, or at least the last time I tried.
Oh, sure.
And
okay.
You're only allowed one.
It's the honor system.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
So as I said, it keeps getting more complex. I'm just wondering how badly it's going to be broken when War Room comes out with it.
It'll be, yes, broken.
I've got all the thingies.
The ham?
Yeah. I want all the harem.
Arctic Circle asks, when am I going to start work on the Monpok app? I don't know. I have not yet had time to play a game of Monpok yet. And my understanding is list creation is not really difficult enough to bother with.
Yeah, list creation isn't. It's I've been actually harping on somebody right now to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that might actually be a thing. I have to help him with it, though.
Yeah, I mean that's the sort of the same thing about with Guild Ball. Is as far as I can tell, the only real point to that would be for tournament list submissions. But I don't know if anybody actually does that.
No, there's that's so there's far no reason.
Away.
Yeah, so
far away.
Get better eyes.
Arctic Circle asks when Dave's going to start work on the Monpok app. A Monpok version of Conflict Chamber already exists. In fact, it's I don't want to say superior, but it has the thing it has going for it that Conflict Chamber doesn't is that the Monpok version has all the stats and rules and everything as well. So it's almost there except for damage tracking. If that thing had damage tracking, you could just load up the internet on your tablet and have War Room.
Why don't you pull out the old Monpok sliders?
What?
For damage tracking.
I mean, I could.
I found like one of my old Secrets containers that had the damage tracker in there and all the dice.
Sucrets,
whatever they're called.
Sucrets?
The lozenges. Altoids?
That's Sucre.
What? It's somewhere around here.
Suffragettes? Sucrets? Are those like Altoids?
I was gonna say, no, they're cough drops, but I mean, they come in a similar
Altoids
tin.
Altoids cough drop.
But they come in a similar tin. We're not talking about...
Halls? Is it Halls, Andy? Are you thinking of Halls? It's a jackal!
You know how to bring me back. It's a jackal!
I think it's Sucrets.
But I found one of the containers there. It had the Monpok tracker thing and all my old dice in that box.
You have a container of secrets?
Oh, I will fucking stab you!
Yeah, he's like Pandora. This little box of secrets.
Oh, Pandora is not secrets!
What?
I thought it was a Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
That was Chamber of Secrets.
Show me your Chamber of Secrets. Vocal inflection matters.
Show me your Chamber of Secrets? What?
I mean, if that's where you want to put them.
Now you got me doubting myself.
you're gonna Google if there are Sucrets. Were those ones with Retson?
No, find a different topic.
Retson.
So we were talking. We were talking about hell, weren't we?
Yeah.
It was a great day to talk about hell.
How the Abrahamic God exists in Star Wars because Han Solo talks about hell.
But
also,
again, is this an idiomatic translation or not?
Yeah, well, that's, it's with snakes and breasts. And every character in Smash Brothers Ultimate is an enemy of the Abrahamic God.
Why is that?
Because holy water damages all of them. If you play as Simon Belmont, your holy water will destroy any opponent.
Are you still playing that game?
Rude. Also, no. But
oh my god, because I'm sure there was some challenge that was a rage Nathan moment in that game.
Dude, the single player map of light is the worst thing I've ever played. It is the worst game I've ever played.
Better than Cogs and Commissars.
I would rather play Cogs and Commissars again than play the fucking single player World of Light.
I gotta
World
get that recorded.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, this is definitely like a would you rather eat glass or be stabbed in the face, but fucking A. The World of Light in Smash Brothers Ultimate is goddamn a magnum opus of bad game design.
How does it work?
Shockingly terrible.
I have not even played the game once.
So it's a fighting game. Whatever. So
fuckers, they do exist.
Yeah, it's your box of secrets.
Yeah.
So World of Light is just this little map that you move around, like think like a roll move map on a board game, but you know it's got several branching paths or whatever. And each step you get to, you have to do like a themed fight, and they'll be like, oh, in this fight it's really windy, and then you go fuck yourself. And in this fight it's whatever. And they're not fun challenges, they're just go fuck yourself challenges that are frustrating and rage inducing until you go elsewhere and get like a gimmick. Like, okay, it's windy in this spot, so you have to go fight somebody else that gives you the thing that you can equip that makes it so wind doesn't affect you. Well, then I'm not overcoming an interesting challenge. Then no. You're just forcing me to go get Kryptonite so I can fight Superman. And that's not fucking fun. Make the challenges interesting and fun, and then maybe have something that gives me a little edge, like 10% fire resist when fighting the guy who uses fire, but don't make it literally an item check or get fucked.
Yeah,
that's not enjoyable.
That's kind of why I bailed on that game. I mean, I couldn't play the normal mode, just the versus other people. I lose track of where my character is all the time, because when you're doing one of those huge battles, it just zooms out super far.
Yeah,
and then Pikachu just flies off the fucking board.
Pikachu.
Yeah. But
excuse you, he sounds like Ryan Reynolds.
No,
that's canon now.
No, no. That's only if you understand Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of us, those commercials make no fucking sense.
Wait, so if you speak Spanish when you watch Telemundo, they all sound like Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
Like, once you can understand a language, they...
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Why do you think everyone thinks it's funny?
Are they speaking a different language, or is it just a psychic communication?
We'll have to watch the movie to find out. And God damn it, if that DVD doesn't have a fucking audio track option with Danny DeVito, I will be infuriated.
Pay him
$20. Have him record his lines. Done. You don't even have to splice it in. You just have it as an audio track.
What they should do is they should do a Thermion audio track on that thing. So it Ryan Reynolds just saying Pika, 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 Pika.
Every
Pika,
movie
Pika,
should Pika, have Pika, a Thermion Pika. Audio track that's just actually in Thermion. Treat it like all the other languages where you can listen to them in French or Portuguese. I want Thermion in every film. But is Danny DeVito on Cameo? If so, I'll pay him enough money.
We're gonna find out how many lines.
Every line. To find out how many lines there are.
Yeah.
And I mean, how long they are. So it's word count, right? Like, if he'll say something up to 50 words, then I can squeeze 5 or 6 lines in there, depending on if they're all like 10 words long. So figure out how much it'll cost to get Danny DeVito to say the entirety of Ryan Reynolds' lines in Detective Pikachu.
I mean,
so
sure,
we can be the heroes the world deserves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could do a GoFundMe for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can GoFundMe the hell out of this. You know who else could GoFundMe that? The people who made Detective Pikachu.
So I was going to say is that's why I bailed on that game, is because then I couldn't play the normal mode, and then so I started playing the, you know, go explore the world mode, and I ran into some fuck you combinations, and
the
I'm like, no, this checks, is just dumb.
Yeah.
I will say, though, going through Mad Moxie's fucking Thunderdome shit is that sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what it was until I made it to round 5, and then round 5 has, so Mad Moxie is basically, it's just,
they're arena fights.
You're just fighting waves and waves and waves of bad guys, and then she also gives you a modifier is that for all 3 of the domes? Or is it just the Gulch one that I fought in?
They're all like that.
They're all like that. Okay.
Where they give you modifiers that change the battles.
Yeah. So you know what sucks the worst is when you have Vampirism, which is slowly draining your health until you kill an enemy, and no shield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. Yeah. I did make it through it, though. I did find out that so when the bad guys on round 5 for each round, when the boss is showing up, is if you just throw a whole bunch of Bouncy Betty grenades at the stage, usually gets them down pretty quick.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Nathan. Danny DeVito is not on Cameo.
Danny DeVito.
The best I can do is Gilbert Gottfried.
I was going to say, is Gilbert Gottfried on there? You know me. You know what my go-to would be. So we can have a Gilbert Gottfried Detective Pikachu.
No, I want Gilbert Gottfried doing Danny DeVito doing Pikachu. And it's $150.
Oh, we can get Zeus on there. That'd be awesome.
Zeus? Like the Greek god?
No, as in is it Tony Lister?
Gilbert Gottfried has the Aristocrats as one of his featured performances.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So I hear you asking, why is there blood? It's my favorite line from any documentary ever. Chat, yes, the World of Light does have a natural end. It's called the second time you run into one of those item checks and stop playing the game forever.
It's called a power button.
In theory, there are a finite number of levels and you beat them all and whatever. Smash Ultimate,
Smash Ultimate.
Of Light. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a finite number of levels, but it's just the fucking design.
He's rated 4.9 stars.
I believe it.
It's just one of those things. It's one of those things where you feel. For me, I would want to level up all those stupid guys, all the stupid add-ons that you get. You want to level up,
sure.
Even though most of them are just basically copies of each other, and they're just literally just collector toys.
Yeah,
pretty much for all those little add-on
they
guys.
I don't think they do anything when you play the other mode. They're only in the World of Light mode.
Correct.
So leveling up something in there doesn't give you an advantage in the actual battle modes. It's just in there, so it's self-contained, I think.
It also is a way that you can unlock fighters, too.
Sure, but you can unlock fighters just by playing the battle mode enough. Because every X number of matches, a new challenger will show up, and you have to beat them.
Oh, and some of those are fucking shitty, too.
They get harder the further you go.
Yeah.
The last couple get really batshit insane to unlock.
Yep. Unfortunately, I sold my copy of that to somebody at a tournament for a Guild Ball tournament in December, and all I had is the cart on me, so it had just the little chip, and I didn't have the box with me, and so I have just a random box of.
You're not going to give it to that person?
I lost his address, and I have no idea who it is, because it was just a random person that I talked to at the tournament. So if he's listening, I have your Smash Brothers.
Or if somebody else who was there is listening,
yeah,
get the hookup.
Our crossover for Guild Ball is growing every week. It's kind of scary.
Good.
Yeah.
Exciting. That does remind me of a Zappity Grumble we had a couple episodes ago that I was thinking of on the way here, which was game mechanics that you disliked at first, but then they grew on you.
Was it the map in Hollow Knight?
It was not the map in Hollow Knight. The map in Hollow Knight can go fuck itself and die. God, I hate that fucking thing.
I did that because I knew this would happen.
I do hate that thing. Although Hollow Knight does have the thing I'm going to talk about, which was when I was younger, I was an avid save scummer. I would save scum like nobody's fucking business.
What's save scum?
You save your game, so you're playing Fallout. Mm-hmm. Okay, and someone's like, do you want X or Y? And you save your game, and you choose X, and you don't like the outcome, so you load your game and you choose Y.
Okay.
That's save scumming. It's getting your perfect playthrough, and by making sure, you know, or like the Mario Rabbids game, which also came up, because that's what I started playing after Smash Brothers. You'd fight a boss, one of your three people would die, you'd go, fuck you, you'd reset and you'd play again, because I'm going to beat that thing flawlessly.
Yep. That's me and RTSs, and that's not how you play RTSs.
That's save scumming. So I was an avid save scummer. Played the fuck out of Diablo, the first Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
Save scum the fuck out of Diablo. And then Diablo 2 came out, and there was no save scumming in Diablo 2 because there is no save button in Diablo 2. What happens, happens. Eat a dick.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating at first because I didn't want to have to live with the repercussions of my decisions. That's why I play games instead of enjoying my real life where I have to live with the repercussions of my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I came to enjoy it. And now, obviously, if you've listened to any of my recommendations on this podcast, roguelikes are like my favorite thing. And they are nothing but the refusal of save scumming. And now I do it in other games. Like, again, playing Fallout 4 or whatever. No, just no saving. I would only save when I was stopping for the night, and I would only then load that save, and there was no going back. Or Iron Man and XCOM. Live with your mistakes.
Same with me. In specifically Fallout, I couldn't play Fallout normal just because you could just save it wherever. The only place where you could save it if you're doing survival mode is in a bed.
Yeah.
I like that mode so much better.
Mm-hmm. What about Fallout 3 before Dog Meat was immortal? If you go into a fight and Dog Meat dies, you're not reaching for that load button.
Never played Fallout 3.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Never played any of the other Fallouts besides maybe Fallout 2, and I probably played it for like 2 hours, and that was on console, and I said no.
Fallout 2 was not on console.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was for the PlayStation. I have a copy of it upstairs.
Really? Yeah. I remember XCOM came out on PlayStation 1. It was the most difficult to use thing, but the original XCOM was on PS1.
That's how I played XCOM.
Fallout 2 was on the PS1 also? Yep. Jesus, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a brief era where everybody tried to port shit to the PlayStation 1, and most of them were just terrible ports.
Like Command & Conquer.
Yeah.
Like Warhammer Fantasy, they had that ported over as well. Warcraft. Can you imagine playing Warcraft with a fucking mouse?
Well, that was pre-DualShock, too, so it was full-on gamepad.
Uh-huh.
And there was no pause button.
God, I'd like to see a tournament with that. get a land set up.
I would
with
rather
people,
play Desert Bus.
No, no, but I mean to see people have to try to all.
I would rather play Desert Bus.
Yeah, it's like watching people try to play an FPS on a console.
No.
I watched an interesting video. I watch a lot of speedrun like history things, mm-hmm. and there was one talking about GoldenEye for the N64.
Yep.
The 15 years ago or something, this random 60-year-old man posted that he had beaten the world records on there, and everybody's like, "How do you do this?" And he's like, "Well, I was watching this video, and this guy said, if you want to be, you know, I've never speedrun, and I thought I would try out this game, and this video, the guy said the key is just, you know, put your head down and keep at it." And so that's what I did. And they're like, "Yeah, but how did you actually get better?" Whatever. He's like, I just put my head down, and then they're like, "Wait, he means this literally." And the way he made the game faster was by just staring at the floor so that the N64 didn't have to process as much stuff, because all it has was James Bond's feet and nothing else, because this guy just took an idiom literally. And so then there was this huge infight in the GoldenEye community where this is objectively faster, but it makes for the most boring goddamn speedruns possible. But you can't ban it, because then if anybody ever looks downward for any reason, were they doing that to go faster? And so there's this huge Civil War schism that happened in GoldenEye speedrunning. Because this old man just took an idiom literally.
So
he's dead now. F for respects.
Oh. Speaking of speedruns, I watched a documentary.
I threw that in there, Dan.
I like the documentary about the Doom. Doom 1 speed run.
Just the first level.
Yeah. That basically it was beat in, I think it was 8 seconds was the, or no, 9 seconds was the world record.
In the game timer.
Yep. It was originally 9 seconds for the world record, and they had somebody after 20 years finally beat it in 8 seconds.
Yep.
Which, and watching that speed run is insane too. Because, yes. You can't walk forward, so the way that you gain momentum in the game, also you can't hit anything. So, and mobs also wander around randomly.
Walking randomly, yep.
So it's, you can't hit a mob. You have to just, you have also have to strafe kind of walk.
Well, because if you walk forward and sideways, it combines those two velocities. So walking diagonally is the correct way to travel. But hitting any surface instantly stops you full on.
Sure, and that game's old enough that they were doing clock tricks instead of just using a processor.
Yep. Oh yeah, but yeah, it was. I saw that same thing. It was very interesting watching that 1 second shave off.
Yeah, yeah.
This morning, I actually watched a thing about somebody who found a glitch to beat Banjo-Kazooie 6 minutes faster. True story.
Yeah, I don't mind glitches that much, but I really like watching non-glitch speedruns.
They're both good in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean the folks that can actually go through and actually like end up reprogramming the fucking game on the fly. Like you see for like the Super Mario World stuff, that's insane. Yep. Like if I jump over this thing and land on this thing and do this thing, it does this thing into the RAM that enters this thing, and then I can warp to this thing. And like the wrong
warp to the ending credits by going down the pipe at the certain time while holding a shell and with a certain coin count.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Where that shit's all memory, right? Yeah. And if you do the right stuff, I mean, you're programmers, you do the right stuff, your game's like, oh, okay, I'll run the credits, boss.
I mean, it's less fun in our world because, you know, I cause people to lose money and Dave ends the world.
Yeah. And you don't get to fuck a princess.
Yeah, there is that problem.
Well, I mean apart this from is... our beloved wives, obviously.
I mean, this is sort of one of the things that when I was teaching software engineering, I kind of remind people about the seriousness of some of this. It's like, because in the C or C++ language, you can open up a prompt, ask the user to type in their name. You can get their name off of the keyboard and then cast that to a function pointer and just ask the processor to say, you know what, treat this person's name as if it's a binary encoded function and see what happens.
Usually nothing, but every so often art.
So yeah.
So what does that do then? To the layman that heard that dribble.
Are you familiar with what LSD does?
Okay,
that's basically that for the processor.
Yeah, it's basically just trying to treat random noise as a program.
So like I said, 99.9% of the time, nothing will happen other than the runtime exiting out.
But that, sometimes the computer sees its fingers finally fing.
then you reboot the machine.
Because, I mean, C will let you do that. There is no good reason for you to ever do that, but C will happily let you do it.
One of my professors described C and C++ as like a bazooka. You can do great things, but you'll probably shoot your leg off.
Sure. Giving a lightsaber to a non-force-sensitive user for our nerdy listeners out there.
Lightsaber to a baby.
Depends on the baby.
That 1.0001% will be fine.
Yep.
The rest of them will try and eat it.
Like the porg.
It was poor porg just watching Chewie eat them.
Yeah, well, you
eat
know
their buddies.
Whatever. They look delicious. Well, they look absolutely delicious.
Did I tell the story of
a penguin without that pesky beak?
Well, did I tell the story of why those are even there? So they
sell toys?
No. The islands that they filmed that are a puffin refuge, and they realized that it was significantly cheaper to digitally turn every puffin into a porg than to remove them from the shot, because they couldn't actually remove the birds from the islands because that's illegal. So it was significantly cheaper to just CGI a different face onto every puffin than to CGI remove them and all the bird shit off of the island.
Sure. That makes sense. Yep. Just give the puffins facelifts. Also, chat, no, Han is not force-sensitive. I said a non-force-sensitive user might do great things and might cut their legs off.
I think Han had... He might have had a tinkling, because he did recognize certain things here and there.
That's just smuggler's instinct.
You think?
Well, I mean, also, I mean... The
why
you
the
don't
fuck
need
does Lando
be...
still have the same goddamn outfit he had on back in Solo?
Because nostalgia.
Okay. Because he's only ever worn two things, and one of them was Han's. And that would be creepy. Like, hey, Leia, I'm wearing your dead husband's things.
Yeah, we haven't had a podcast since that came out, too. The trailer.
Yeah,
the trailer, teaser trailer.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Eh. Kylo's a Skywalker, so maybe he's the titular Skywalker. Who knows?
I at least like
I'll go
the
see
theory.
The movie the week it comes out. I mean,
yeah.
I bought my John Wick tickets, which are two seats to the right of where I wanted my John Wick tickets to be, goddamn computer.
I was very lucky. I was able to get tickets for early Friday for
Endgame.
Avengers, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have Saturday morning.
Yep,
yeah.
I've got Friday early evening tickets. My wife is coming back from finishing up her semester in her master's program, and we are going out and watching the movie. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
Maybe I'll just take Friday off of work and just not be on the computer.
So you're just going to take a day off of work and sleep?
Yeah. Or just be on my PlayStation.
I guess, or you could just help Riley and replace another floor.
Pshaw. Pshaw, I say.
I didn't know you were replacing floors now.
What are you replacing?
Every so often, she just randomly posts and I'm like, they replaced another floor. Like, eventually you'll run out of rooms.
Yeah, I mean, there's only like 10 square feet left that she hasn't ripped the floor off of.
Mm.
Saving that for a special occasion.
Have you then replaced it
she
right away?
She tried those 10 square feet. She couldn't.
No.
Like I said, she's just not angry.
Was that in the sex dungeon?
It was not. No, the sex dungeon, we replaced the floor right away. Oh. But the...
priorities.
You have to hose it down. They had carpeting in their sex dungeon, which is just unsanitary.
Just think of the smell.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't... Oof. But no, the carpeting between our bedroom and our bathroom is glued down super, super strongly. She teared off like 4 square inches, and she's like, "I no more."
Yeah.
So now we have 4 square inches that were ripped off. So it's like, well, now it just looks bad.
I've torn up glued down carpeting. It's like basically our whole house in the upstairs, where I grew up in, was just basically carpeting like this with a padding. And then it was just all glued down. So we had to replace it. We had to scrape off all the padding on there. It sucked.
Yeah. Maybe I, like as a birthday present to her, will put in the effort to scrape it all up. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's going to be in Chicago all next week, so we'll see.
Sweet.
No.
Party time.
Sure. Yeah. Carpet ripping party. You're welcome to come over.
Nope.
That doesn't sound like a fun euphemism.
Chat asked the Zappity Grumble, and the other part of chat answered the Zappity Grumble, and they answered it wrongly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Are we to that point of Zappity Grumble?
I don't know, but I just know that Jim's wrong. We're at 7. We've been talking for an hour-ish.
Yeah, just under.
And do you have the Game of Thrones tonight?
Yeah, Game of Thrones is here. So
yeah, well, unless you already watched it when it leaked like 5 hours ago.
No, I don't. I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, it leaked onto the Tubernets because like Amazon Prime already had it or something, and it was on early. So,
whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only use that to be able to watch the nude scenes sooner.
Sure. Get your wreck on.
Yeah, well, you know. That way when the show's on, I can concentrate.
Sure. You're just not taking a nap immediately afterwards, though?
Yeah. Well, you know, halfway through the thing, a little buddy's like, "Ooh, what's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, no, don't worry. We've seen it already." I want to listen to the dialogue this time. Dead within a year of the pox. That was funny, Qyburn. It was funny. Last week. Don't you remember that from last week?
No.
You watched last week, right?
Yeah.
Bron's got like 3 prostitutes.
Yeah.
And Qyburn's like, "Ah, such a shame that one will be dead within a year from the pox she has." And Bron's like, "Which one?"
I miss that.
It was hilarious.
I miss that part. Yeah. No, last week's was pretty solid. Yeah.
Cool story.
Yep. Oops, I might have put 172.
Instead of 192?
Instead of 270.
272
yeah.
or
310. Yeah, oops. That's probably all my fault. Somebody in chat is mentioning that I might have made a tweet about it being...
But it's very important to note that 272 is a palindrome and 172 is not, because 172 is stupid.
Yeah, but that was the last cast.
That's true. Although 172... I feel like that's 13 times 14. Yeah, I think 172 is 13 times 14, right? Because 13 times 4 would be 52. Oh, no, 182. No,
the factorization would be 13 times 14. Is 4 times 43.
Yeah, 182 would be 13 times 14. I was just adding the extra 10 in wrong.
I have a quick question for you guys before we jump over to Zappity Grumbles. How, as a business, would you feel if you had contacted somebody directly to purchase things, you had to set up a special account with that company, and that company accidentally set it up as a different profile, so the prices were cheaper, and then you, as a business, made a bunch of purchases on that cheaper account.
And they went, oops, and upped the price?
And then they went, oops, and then we're not going to send you it until you pay us the new price. Isn't that from my understanding, that's illegal, because that's...
It might be. It's in a weird area. They didn't advertise the prices at that, but they did contractually offer them to you at that price.
Yeah.
Like, doing it and then saying, okay, that was one time, our bad, now yes. The prices are going up.
Correct. That's one thing, but it's for products that was already paid for to that company.
Well, Dan, you started to say something before I talked faster.
I said it's definitely unethical. It's probably one of those, well, actually legal type things.
Yeah. So that happened to us.
I would be upset about it as long as it wasn't below the actual cost to the business. Because, I mean, if it was something that was just a ridiculous deal and they were clearly losing money on it, I'd be like, I'll allow being a dick about this. But if it's just a discount because you were there, because if they're just denying you, if they accidentally gave you a discount for a more preferential customer and then said, no, fuck you, yeah, they're being an asshole about it.
Yeah, no, to what it seemed like to me, the prices that they were offered there were prices that they would sell directly to a distributor.
Yeah.
And then the distributor would get that there. So yeah. Whoever they set up for that direct profile put it at the wrong level. They must have set it at distributor instead of retail store.
Yeah, I would be pissed off. Yeah. As I said, I wouldn't be pissed off if they just kind of accidentally was like, oh, yeah, you could get all of this for $10. And then said, no, we're not honoring that. But yeah, if they give you the wrong discount, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah, nope. They basically made the store eat it, which is kind of dickish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't make the store eat it. They basically said, you know, you have to pay us the full price. So yeah.
good old company that you're apparently not going to say their name out loud, but we've all caught on to.
Yeah, it's pretty much out there. I mean, if you've seen any of my posts in a certain group in our area, then you know exactly who it
well,
is.
Well, I mean, you I feel that company's frustrating everyone planet-wide for similar reasons right about now.
Just, yeah. The game they make is amazing.
Business they make, and not so much.
But it, well, no, they, yeah, they're yeah.
How much of the miniature gaming industry does that describe?
Yes. Not this specific instance,
but I mean, I know
miniature games being run by people who do not understand business.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I know of at least two companies that have direct programs that I don't hear us ever complaining about them.
Yeah.
I mean, Games Workshop, we don't complain about that.
Yeah.
They're direct. I mean, most game stores seem to be.
I mean, but that's because Games Workshop is the opposite. They actually understand business, and their game suffers because of it.
I wouldn't say they suffer that much anymore. They're still doing really well. But
well, yes, because they've swung the pendulum back.
Correct.
But
yeah, but it used to be they didn't understand games or business.
Sure.
Well, and then they understood business.
Yeah.
And how to manipulate their game for business.
Sure.
And
sure.
Now they are back into understanding both game and business, and yeah. That's why they're doing really well.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing Games Workshop ever did was in the same week they released an errata that made the Eldar Wave Serpent the best transport in the game and discontinued the model within the same week.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Hey, they're helping the secondary market.
Yeah, that's actually about the time that the Chinese recast really kicked off.
Yeah.
Because for a while you could only buy them via Forge World, or you could go to Forge X World and get them for pennies on the dollar.
Uh-huh. Chat, crack the case!
Yep, chat, crack the case. So I'm not going to say that's in there. But
they had like a 1-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's part of that forum too. So
yes.
Yeah, no, it was just severely disappointing that to hear that. And also it took them a month and a half to get us our stuff. And they didn't even finish getting us all of our stuff that we ordered then. So I'm still missing a bunch of pieces. Jeff's thing that he got for there, I just about gave it away for there. Jeff's thing that he got is also missing a piece as well.
Good times.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It'll all be
fine. The game
fine.
Is so fun.
Well, you know.
I say.
Zappity.
Yeah.
Grumble. Actually, sorry, Andy was doing the grumble.
You can grumble if you want.
I mean, you've done all the grumble.
It's your show too, Dan.
True.
You can scroll up in the chat. There's some there. Are you finding them on the book faces?
There was none on the book
there
faces.
There's none on the book faces.
What about in the tweet mails?
The tweeters.
There's just chat.
Chat. Chatty boom bladdy.
That's the wrong mouse again.
The wrong man.
Was there that many?
There's two.
There's a couple. Scroll all the way up.
Yeah, keep scrolling.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we don't have that much chat.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's one you keep going past.
Yeah, that's the one at the top.
Yeah.
Do you want me to move the thing closer? You seem to be squinting.
Well, only because it's 100 miles away. But no, I can read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting.
Are we all just going to stare at it?
I figured you were going to read it.
I thought you were the one that was
Zappity.
Reading
it. I read it.
I just said that you just
you
said
always
that you can read it.
All right.
Well, no, I don't always read it. I'm able to read it. You were talking about my vision, not my willingness to speak out loud.
Hashtag Zappity. Is there a game you loved at first that you grew to hate because of the game itself?
Yes.
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 All right, next one. Grumble.
There's no elaboration at all.
Well, it was a yes or no question.
No.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I obviously gave a very good example in earlier in this episode.
No, that's fine.
Computer scientists think it's
supposed to be lightning round.
Yeah,
that was the most lightning round we've done since episode 25.
Computer scientists love that if somebody asks them a question with the word "or" in it, because that makes it a yes or no question. Everybody else who's not a computer scientist gets tired of that after the zeroth time you do it.
So my watch right now, I glance down, and it says, today, April 21, Easter Sunday, all day. Easter Sunday, all day. Why?
Because you have two different calendars that both have Easter on them?
I did want to cut that off all episode, Andy.
Yeah, I saw it.
I have my thing in my pocket, and I was going to
do it. No, I'll cut it.
I'll
cut
it.
I'll cut it.
Didn't.
to clarify, there is a small
thread
off of the Build-A-Bear Toothless.
Does Toothless have worms?
Oh, that video happened to my cat once, and I had to just pull them out.
Oh, the guinea worm.
Yeah.
I saw an unfortunate video. It looked like Cthulhu was coming out of a cat's butt.
Yeah, no. Mine was because he was a barn cat that we got from a friend who had a farm.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first wife's coworker had a farm. She's like, look, this cat. And we're like, all right, we'll take it. And apparently he had tapeworms at the time, and they sure come out that end.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, you give them medicine, and they die. But the first one just came out and it was like still alive. I'm like, what's this hanging out my cat's butt? And it was smiling at me. I'm like, oh, okay then.
Yeah, they want to leave when they get the medicine, which is good. I mean, eventually, I mean, it means that they're going to be healthy then. But,
yeah, he was healthy.
Yeah, it's
for a while.
All right, somebody else going to read the second Zappity Grumble?
I'm too far away.
Zappity, you are the head of affection in Star Wars. What is your desired battlefield army? Clones, droids, etc. And Chad answered droids, which was dumb and wrong because we saw an army of droids and an 8-year-old accidentally destroyed it.
I'm going to say droids just because I have the most experience with them running armies of them.
With a child-sized helmet inside the ship. There was a child-sized helmet in that ship.
Okay, maybe the pilot of that ship was non-human standard size. Maybe it was like Nien Nub's ship. You ever think of that?
Nub Nub.
He was a normal human size.
No, he was a little dude. He was cackling with his labia face.
No, he was a normal sized person. And also his helmet would be wider because it goes over his blah, blah, blah,
blah. He was definitely smaller.
He was smaller, but his head was big.
Sure, but you just said he was a regular-sized person.
I think he was regular-sized.
He was regular-sized for his species.
Probably.
He was not,
he was regular-sized for Wisconsin.
Wikipedia this.
I will get Nien Nub's height.
I mean, he was a co-pilot in the Falcon.
We all know who Nien Nub is.
Yeah, but I mean, he's about Lando size.
He was definitely not Lando size. He was a little dude. He's a Sulistan. He was played by Mike Quinn.
Okay. He wasn't played by anybody. That's Nibnib. Nibnib.
Height, 1.6 meters.
Okay. Well, then convert that, fucker.
It's like 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
He was definitely a little dude. I mean, he wasn't like, 3 feet tall. He wasn't like Ewok short, but he was definitely smaller than an average human.
I mean, also, Ewoks, because they're the only army shown.
5'2", sir. 5'3" is 1.6.
Okay.
He's 4 inches shorter than me.
Sure.
Yeah. That's how tall my mother was.
Sure.
Okay.
So are we going to say 5'2" is above average for a human?
Well, yeah. No, not above average for a human, but
I mean, you're right. He was taller than Anakin, so I could have chose a better example. But he was shorter than people.
He's shorter than people.
Andy, you're the rock bottom where I consider them people. And he's shorter than Andy.
What?
You're not a people. Take that, my own grandmother. But yeah, maybe like a little Ewok person piloted that. Maybe like Salacious Crumb. That was his personal starfighter.
The Ewok pilot was one of the best things of the expanded universe.
Dude, everything Ewok is the best thing in Star Wars. Fuck Ewok haters.
I mean, they also are, one of the most competent armies depicted on the films.
Correct. Yeah. So I would definitely want an army of Ewoks. A, they're adorable. B, that they're loving lovers. C, they're great in combat.
Yeah,
eat the enemies, so no cleanup afterwards. No worries about prisoner maintenance. They're great with technology, so if I fight an army that has technology I'm unfamiliar with, I just throw some Ewoks at it. They will pilot that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an inherent technomancer thing. We already discussed that, I think, last episode.
Jawas could do that, too.
No, they're just going to rip it off and try and sell it for drugs.
Exactly. That's fine with me. I mean, they inherently take everything apart.
Yeah, but then this podcast would be taken apart.
Yeah. It does bother me that everyone says that, like, when the original Death Star, not the original, the second Death Star exploded and crashed into the planet, it caused so much catastrophe on Endor. Thing is, though, the Ewoks are on the forest moon of Endor, not not actually on Endor.
So there's a grammatical thing. That sentence can be parsed to mean that that is the forest moon that revolves the planet named Endor, or that that forest moon is named Endor and rotates around, orbits around a planet that is unnamed.
I'm sorry, that the planet is Endor 9.
Hmm?
The planet is Endor 9.
But in the film alone, without going to Wikipedia or Expanded Universe, just looking at that sentence,
yeah,
when he says this forest moon of Endor, it's similar to the continent of North America.
Yeah, I suppose.
Where he could be describing the name of it, or it could be just the forest moon of the planet Endor. So within the film, it's ambiguous.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But
I guess we're going to find out. We're also going to find out in the...
And the moon and the planet would both be fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only 160 kilometers of death hurling towards you.
Yeah. I mean, that didn't wipe out the dinosaurs or anything.
It's fine. Ewoks are small.
That's true. The mammals survived.
But the thing is, though, would it cause catastrophic issues. But would it be, because it's not hitting with the same velocity as, at least I wouldn't think it would hit with the same velocity as like an actual comet.
That all depends on the explosion. I say it all depends on the efficiency of the explosion.
Yeah.
That planet, that satellite was blown apart.
Yeah, didn't you see the ring system?
Yeah. But like it didn't just crack, you know what I mean? Like that explosion, the shrapnel, cuz really like in a space combat situation, they shouldn't have lasers that they shoot off. Those fuckers should just have blunderbusses where they just blast widespread flak shrapnel because with no friction to slow it down, a shotgun on the side of a Star Destroyer would be the most efficient way to just fuck someone's day.
So are you also wanting to see like a sequence where you see the star battle and then like show like 5 years later some guy on some random planet just bolted in the head?
Sure. Yeah.
For reference, the Chicxulub impact, which is generally thought to be the asteroid impact that caused the extinction of the dinosaurs right off the Yucatan Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico. The asteroid or comet is estimated to be 11 to 81 kilometers in diameter. So
that's 6.8 to 50.3 freedom units.
Yep. And so we said that the Death Star was 160 kilometers in diameter?
The Death Star 2 was 150 to 160.
In diameter? Okay, yeah. So...
But it wasn't completed yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this at the largest at the largest estimate for the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs, the Death Star would be eight times bigger.
No, it would be about two times bigger, right? Because that's 81 kilometers, and they said it's like 160.
Diameter, not mass.
Yeah, diameter. The diameter to volume is a factor, or is
right. Well,
cubed.
This is diameter.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And are we sure that all the Death Star actually landed on the planet? Yeah. I mean, like more like a big chunk of it, like bottom.
Yeah,
half
the diameter.
So, like, if 1/10 of it landed, it would have been like that impact.
Sure.
Right?
Also depends on the planet size too. And they would have changed all their pictures to green and
whatever the Ewok flag is.
Yep.
If something that is roughly spherical, if you double the diameter, it makes the volume eight times larger. But yeah, so.
It
wouldn't just kill all the dinosaurs. It would kill a whole lot more.
But yeah, that's why in Diablo spells that are just increasing by 0.1 meter in diameter, it seems unimpressive. And then you get level 20 corpse explosion and you realize how those things work.
Yeah.
And then your graphics card starts screaming.
Ewoks. My final answer.
Your graphics card starts screaming Ewoks? What kind of graphics card do you have?
A really good one or bad one. Your choice.
Okay, in addition to Thermion, every movie needs a Ewok screaming secondary audio track. I mean, they don't have to all be screaming, but I just want an Ewok audio track on every film. Don't you want to watch a version of John Wick where everyone's speaking Ewok?
Yeah. No, I want the last song in Jedi to be playing.
That Happy Wheels song the chef is singing. Well, that's the song that John Wick sings while he's shooting everybody. He's so happy about it.
I mean, that probably already exists on YouTube.
So are they going to CGI Luke as a Force ghost back when he was younger?
No, they'll just have a different actor like they did for Jedi with the fucking butchery.
Because you see, that is when Anakin truly died.
That was Lucas's excuse for putting hating Christensen in Jedi.
I thought his excuse was cocaine.
Well, I mean, there's the reason and there's the excuse.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just because he just wanted to.
That's when he thought truly died.
No, he died after he redeemed himself by throwing the Emperor off a balcony, scaffolding.
Anakin truly died.
Yeah. Well, you got to say it with more chins. So.
So someone was asking about renting one of the rooms in my house to stay at for a while, and I was going to say, yeah, you could pay, or you could use, you can pay for it with money, or with cleaning, or with helping remodeling, or you can dance for me like Ula in Jabba's palace. And then it made me think, I'm not
sure. This is what the sex dungeon is for.
Right. But
does it have a trapdoor leading to a rancor in the basement?
I'm not sure. Well, I'm the rancor. I push the button, and then I come scurrying downstairs after a costume change. But I'm not sure if I'm more of a Jabba or more of a Salacious Crumb. Like, I have the physique of Jabba with the personality of Salacious Crumb.
Do you...
I was going to ask a clarifying question, but I need Andy to pull up the people listening right now first.
Oh, is there... Okay. We did see both the Zappies. Are we live? Oh, no, what? No, Raylene's not listening.
All right, so which one's Raylene then?
Obviously, she's Ula, the beautiful dancing girl.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or
this was not edited
Leia
at all.
As, fuck, I just Googled this last week because I couldn't remember the goddamn character's name. The bounty hunter who died. Dengar? That one. Not Dengar either. None of the ones IG-88? That were on, none of the ones that were on the Exeter. The
Box?
Executor. The one that Leia poses as to infiltrate Jabba's palace.
Boosh. Boosh? No,
oh, wait, not Bosk.
Yeah.
No, not Bosk, but not Bosk. I think Boosh.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant Bosk. Yeah, no. Boosh. But with like, it's like an O-U-S-C-H or something.
Yeah. It's one of those great Star Wars names with like four extra vowels in it.
Yeah, as opposed to bad guy sleaze facio.
Yeah.
Sly McBaggio. Yeah.
No, it was Sleaze Baggio. Sleaze Baggio.
Yeah.
Sleaze Baggia. Sleaze Baggian.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not mentioned in the movies. I understand it's canon and for everything else, but it's not mentioned in the movies. So there's different types of canon.
Like the flat cannons on the Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
I just want to see some broadsides. I just want to see shit blow up.
Well, I want to see. I'm sick of seeing like more and more ships, bigger ships. I want to see Star Destroyers actually kick ass.
Yeah.
And do what they were supposed to do.
Anyone who's seen Black Sails, I want to see the Walrus versus the Spanish Man of War in a Star Wars movie.
Isn't that the beginning of episode scene. 3?
What? No. I don't think there's any just full on broadsiding at the beginning of episode 3. There's a bunch of those buzz bots or whatever the hell.
Can you imagine like a Star Wars film that's filmed exactly like Master and Commander?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't think there's a problem.
There's one.
Hmm. I know that there's a quick one in episodes, not a number, I'm sorry, in Rogue One when the Empire warps in. Like they ram a ship and then they broadsize one, but it's really quick. I want just this fucking full screen just torn apart while people run and scream and jump.
It's not that
like Master and Commander.
It's not that full on, but there is a two ships cross the T kind of thing.
Sure, there's, and you see some lasers shoot by. And
there's at least a really, it's a horrible movie, but episode 3 had a really cool fight sequence at the beginning of it.
That's what he just...
Yeah.
Jesus, what the... What?
Hold on.
Also, I was distracted by how neutered General Grievous was because he was so fucking cool in the Getty Tartakovsky Clone Wars miniseries. And then episode 3 came out. Yeah, fucking A. And I know canonically it makes sense because Mace Windu injured him at the end of the miniseries, but he was so fucking cool in the miniseries.
No, he's just going to just spin lightsabers.
He didn't even.
And then Obi-Wan in his battle lizard is going to kill him.
Just that scene with him fucking the hell out of three Jedis simultaneously, euphemistic, like metaphorically, not literally. This isn't Rule 34.
Yes.
This isn't Star Wars.
I'm sure we can
find
that, though,
I can
find
that, too. But Yeah, that's why he caught something. That's why he's got asthma. That's the syphilis. General Grievous got space syphilis.
He'll be dead in a year.
Yeah, his midichlorian count's way from off the scales.
Yeah.
But, like, it's fucking amazing, the fight scene between him and, God, I think Kiara Mundi was one of them, as well as, what's the red and white striped chick with the horns that survives and she's in the cartoon?
Sure.
I think she's also in it, but I also feel, well, if it's her and Kiara Mundi and...
Someone who dies.
Yeah, and that one's name is Shaggy. It's a Scooby-Doo reference. His name is Shaggy, but spelled with like seven apostrophes sure. and a bunch of unnecessary vowels, but Shaggy's the one that dies. When Grievous fucking jumps, lands on him, just like putting a foot on his face and slamming into the ground, and then he cartwheels forward and whips him with that leg when he rotates around, and then lightsabers the fuck out of some people. It's amazing.
His animation in that is really cool. I haven't really watched the live action movie,
and he's a wheezing old man.
Yeah, I just haven't seen it in such a long time. I haven't forced myself to watch those again.
And then you compare that fight scene to his fight scene against Obi-Wan, and your hatred grows.
Yeah. Zappity.
I'm done talking about Ewoks.
Yep.
Grumble.
Nobody else answered either question.
I don't think you'd let us answer.
Also, no, go ahead.
I suggested Ewoks.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right. Fine. I'll give Dan the Ewoks one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wanted droids because you're wrong.
Personal experience. Yeah.
Okay. That's true. But you know what? You might be smart enough to not have them just be controlled from a central database on your one ship. Like, you need mm-hmm. redundancy.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, Ultron, have one clone just go hide in the sewers of Vermont until you've solved your atmosphere
destruction. Well, I mean, that was the best part of that movie, is that they defeated Ultron by corrupting his network driver.
Well, no, they just manually broke every copy by punching it to death.
Yeah, but I mean the way they were same able difference. To they walked up and they hacked him and turned off his network access. So I mean literally they installed a bad network driver on him, and that was why he lost. It was the best part.
Why not just have one random one just sitting in a flat somewhere watching Sanford and Son just until everything's over, just in case?
I mean, they would expect that. They need to go back to the ship they found Steve Rogers.
Can I have a 2-hour movie with just James Spader watching Sanford and Son?
Do I have to look up if someone else is on Cameo?
Yeah. Oh, my God. There is the edit where somebody took his character, what is it, like Tony California or whatever his character is from The Office, and spliced in a bunch of his dialogue over Ultron, and it's wonderful.
Sure.
We're just talking about, you know,
God,
Parisian reds and Colombian whites go well together.
Talking about seeing a movie that was like just James
Colombian
Spader.
Colombian whites is cocaine.
Just James Spader watching that reminds me of when Brian Giese and I, we sat in line waiting for episode 1.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we waited. I think it was like 24 hours in line to go see episode 1. Back when it was a thing. Nah, it was fine. But I mean, I remember somebody saying it was like, this movie could be horrible. But and then somebody says, well, this movie could just be Darth Maul eating rice cakes for 2 hours, and I would love it. And just like and then poking like rice cakes into his like little horns on his head.
That would have been better.
Yeah, probably not. Mm. Yeah, probably been better.
I mean, it'd definitely be better than episode 2.
Episode 2 is shit, but yeah. I can watch episode 1. I mean, there's
episode 1 is the least bad prequel.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought episode 3 was better than episode 1.
No,
that's not. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of episode 1. I just thought 3 was at the point where Lucas was locked in enough with stuff that had to happen, is that it got less dumb.
Yeah. So episode 1, you tone down Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Take out both Yippies, and you eliminate midichlorians, and you have a perfectly serviceable film.
Yeah.
I say episode 1 has the worst dialogue, because that is the one that Lucas wrote solely by himself.
It's the most fixable, I think. 2 is just trash.
2 is trash.
Start to finish. Mm-hmm. But 3, you know, like...
I think most of 3's problems are actually the shit show that 2 forced upon it.
Yeah.
Does 3 have the goddamn 50s diner?
No,
that's two.
Okay. 3 is the one where I managed to get bored of 2 Jedi battling on a lava planet. Like, if you manage to make me bored of that, that's a sign that your pacing's fucked.
I mean, two was George Lucas decided he really wanted to remake The Fifth Element in the Star Wars universe and did a terrible, terrible job of it.
And the Jedi all lose to an army of plucked chicken people.
Yeah.
Also, chat, I am not risking the Ewok that I have to win over the Ewoks to make sure they don't kill me, because the question was, what army would I have? And I would have an army of Ewoks. If I have to gain that army myself, yeah, I wouldn't risk the Ewoks.
I mean, all you have to do is just... Sorry.
Go ahead. We were going to make the same joke.
Yeah, all you have to do is just dress up yourself as a protocol droid.
Yeah.
And then you own the army.
Yes.
Because you are worshipped as a god.
Oh, what if my opponents have an army of protocol droids?
Oh, that
I mean, it'll be
sucks
fine.
To
just
be you.
Spray gotcha. Yourself with the paint they used on your Martians.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Like, I mean, if this doesn't work, the cancer will.
Yeah. Is that carcinogenic? I wonder if you could get body paint that was like that prismatic stuff.
Where there's the rumor of the gal that died died from the gold paint. From Goldfinger.
Yeah. That was a big rumor for a long time, is that she had to leave a small spot not painted so that your skin could breathe.
Yeah.
It's not how people work.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all the zappity grumbles.
Yeah, it's all the zappity grumbles. We didn't... Well, I mean, it's Easter, so there's probably people
are too busy with the hams.
Yep. Dan was almost late because of ham.
Yeah, I had a ham-related incident.
Oh.
I had ham, and then I looked at the clock and went, I should have left, but ham.
I mean, to be fair, ham.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah. Ham.
I mean, that's where ham comes from.
Yeah. She just dies of sadness. She just dies of fucking sadness. Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
What?
Luke's mom?
Yes, that part is a problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is flawed.
Thanks, Chewbacca. Why do Yoda and Chewbacca have to be longtime friends?
Because all Wookiees look alike? I don't know.
But it's not even a different Wookiee. I'd be cool with that. Like, just have Yoda be a huge racist where he thinks every Wookiee is Chewbacca.
Maybe he does. Yeah.
I mean, based on his experience, every Wookiee was Chewbacca.
No, he led that whole... There's a whole army of Wookiees. I mean, an army of Wookiees fighting was okay.
I see. That's what I mean. That's what they're going to do for the next trilogy. Is we find out that Chewbacca was actually the main character of the entire series.
He's not even in Episode One, though.
Or isn't he?
Well, I guess we could see a special edition of Phantom Menace.
I mean, there is a Wookiee Senate delegation.
Yeah,
there is. Yeah, but I don't think Chewbacca would be one of those
delegations. Yeah,
I mean, Chewbacca at that time was, because when did Solo actually take place? Was that
in May?
God, I'm just ready to cut the podcast right now. Let's go straight to commercial.
Solo took place
2 to 3 years BBE, I think.
Before what?
Or BBY.
Yeah, BBY. Yeah, I think it's 2 to 3 years BBY. That makes sense.
BBY.
Before the Battle of Yavin.
Hmm. Oh, before New Hope.
Yes. Before the Battle of Yavin, BBY, God, don't you know how to discuss your Star Wars canon?
No.
Everything's split to BBY and ABY. That's their BC and AD, is BBY and ABY.
That was supposed to take place only 3 years before?
I think so.
Oh.
Maybe not.
Because I mean,
oh, sorry, wrong. No, that's the old Legends one. I think it was like...
Yeah, I think Solo was probably
10 to 20 years before.
Soon after Episode 3.
The problem is, it can't be... So
I'm looking at, like, when... Because Chewbacca was a slave.
It can't be prior to Episode 3, right? It
correct.
Has to be after Episode 3. In which case, you've got, like, a 16-year window... And unless it takes place right before Episode 4, which it clearly doesn't,
okay.
Like, it has to take place maybe a decade prior to Episode 4, in which case it's only been 6 years since Episode 3, in which case, like, the Empire's pretty going strong.
Yeah, and Solo is going strong in that. So I was going to say, I did watch Solo recently, and the naming convention... Was not you had built it up as being the most egregious thing ever that happened in cinema history.
It's the dumbest goddamn thing ever.
But
I thought it was
when
fine.
When I watched it, it was not as egregious.
Why have it? It existing is the most egregious thing in cinema history.
It was fine. It really
13 to 10 BBY.
why have it at all? Why not just have his name be Han goddamned Solo? Like, that's
because you have another opportunity for the Empire to be a dick to him. Because that's like, I mean, that's the character arc, is the Empire keeps being a dick to Han Solo.
Yeah.
It's because the writers of the movie decided they didn't have enough Han Solo features that were explained within the film. Here's how he gets the Falcon. Here's how he gets Chewie. Here's how Chewie gets his bandolier. Here's how he gets his gun. Here's how he learns to shoot first. Here's how he gets blah, blah, blah. And they do 100 million fucking things, and they decide that's enough, so they need to literally give him his name, and that's egregiously stupid. The scene might have executed it shockingly well for how stupid the concept was, but there is no reason for that to be a thing. Just have his name be Han Solo. Like, just do that.
See, I don't know. Okay. I don't think. I mean, literally, that's the same way Johnny Cash got his name, because he joined the Navy, and his birth name was J.R. Cash. He just had initials. He didn't have a name, and so when they signed up for the Army, you can't put in just initials. So the recruiter said, "Okay, you're John Cash."
Okay.
But I mean, dumb shit like that has happened before.
But that's going against what Nathan's point is. Nathan's point is that his name should have been Han Solo, and that it wasn't H.R. Solo.
Like, Johnny Cash didn't join the Navy, and his name was just Johnny. And the guy says, "What's your last name?" And he didn't go, "My what?" And then the guy said, "Who are your people?" And he said, "Bankers." And the guy's like, "Your name's Johnny Cash." Because that's fucking dumb.
Would have been better if his name was Martha.
Martha! Why did you say that name? We just became best friends. It's okay that your Chewbacca costume is better than mine. Fucking dumb. Yeah, and that is the worst part of episode 7, is that the Jedi are reduced to myths and legends, and it's like, like, it just happened.
Yeah.
Like, Han's still alive.
Well, I mean
that was 50 years after the Jedi were wiped.
Yeah, to be fair, it's been 50 years since there's been more than one Jedi.
You mean it's been 50 years since there's been more than four Force users?
I mean, of the known Force users in the galaxy, two of them were hiding on backwaters, one of them is well-known, and two of them everyone's been trying their hardest to forget because they hated them.
Okay, so Emperor was hiding it. Vader is public.
Oh, I meant Emperor and Palpatine. People are trying their best to forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think
anybody knows he's a Force user, right? Because he never showed it in the film.
He never showed it.
I'm saying specifically Jedi as opposed to Force users in general.
Okay, because, so even if it's been 50 years since they've been gone, I don't think Vietnam was myths and legends. Like, I'm aware of it.
Yeah, but I mean, in this sci-fi world, they don't have the internet for reasons. Yes,
in this hell where people die of broken hearts.
In this place where people can travel faster than light at will.
Yes, they information. Don't. They don't have the internet. No.
Or last names.
Yeah. Or last like.
No, Skywalker is a common name. Yeah. We've just never seen it happen to any other person in the movies.
It's my slave name.
To be fair, Vader just didn't want to check Tatooine because he doesn't like sand. It's coarse and rough, and it gets everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Myths and legends.
Recommendations.
I got nothing. Eat ham. Yeah, that's my recommendation.
Now through maybe tomorrow, not very long, Return of the Obra Dinn is on sale on Steam. So if you haven't bought it yet on my recommendation, now's the time to get $5 off.
Mm-hmm. Since Nathan had talked about roguelikes before, I'll ask you, have you played NetHack?
Not a lot.
Okay.
I touched it a bit.
I'm going to recommend everybody go and download and play NetHack. It is free. It is open source. It is, one of the original and archetypical roguelikes that it is like, basically two revisions away from Rogue itself, because, actually the roguelike genre comes from a computer game written in the 1970s called Rogue, and NetHack started, NetHack was, so there was Rogue, and then there was was Hack, which was somebody rewrote a game to be similar to Rogue, and then there was NetHack, which was an enhanced version of Hack. And NetHack has been updated a lot since then. It was continuously upgraded from the 80s until the early 2000s, and then recently development has started back up on it again. It is one of the absolute classic computer games, and in my opinion, at least, as a gameplay experience, it still holds up. Mm-hmm. And you should go and try it.
Fair point. Also, seriously, there has to be a way to make it so that you need five colors. My brain just refuses to accept the four color problem. Like, I know it's right. It's one of mm-hmm. those things that I know is true, and I just fucking can't believe it.
Yeah, this is
not butter.
Dude, I would believe it's not butter before I would believe the four color problem, even though it is a thing. Annie, did you have a recommendation?
My recommendation this week is to play the DLCs for Borderlands 1. Right now I'm in the middle of trying to complete Moxie's Thunderdome. I think I might skip that one and go to General Knox next.
You're missing out on a skill point.
Huh?
If you beat all three domes, you get a free skill point.
Oh, I'm still leveling.
Sure.
I'm like 41 now.
But it's not. Yeah, but it's still a free skill point.
Oh, so it's on top of, so it'd be like 42's worth of skill points?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like if you max out the character, you would also have additional skills beyond that. Because you'll still get one per level, but beating all three Moxie Domes gives you a skill point. I think it does that on all three difficulties.
Okay.
So it might be three extra skill points.
I most definitely am not trying those at another difficulty. I'm not going to go through them through different playthroughs. I'm okay with just absorbing the content, and that's all I really wanted to do. I'm okay with being, like, most of the game I went through and I completed every single fucking side quest, which means I was way over leveled for everything else in the game.
That is a problem with Borderlands games.
Yeah. So, and I was fine with that because I get enjoyment just by running around being overpowered, and I don't need everything to be a challenge. Because sometimes things are even a challenge because, I don't know, super. So when Moxie says everything is, you're super fast and everything else is super fast, and then she adds on the other add-on where all monsters are super fast and reload super fast, the Alpha Skags, they run really, really fast.
Yeah, Alpha Skags are nasty as hell in Moxie's dome.
Holy fuck. It's basically, you look off the distance, you're like, oh, that's a dog there. Oh, shit, it's here. They all have the flash power. But yeah, I think I might skip the other two. I'm going to try the other two to see if I have the same amount of problems as I had in the first dome. But Nox is next, and then Claptrap's ninja assassin thing.
Sure.
So when you... spoiler. When you beat Borderlands 1, did Claptrap turn into a ninja assassin?
Yeah.
Back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the little teaser for Claptrap ninja assassin was always at the end of the credits.
That was always at the end of the credits? Okay. I didn't know if it was something that they added in. I know they added in the chests for finally killing off the big tentacle beast.
Yep. I had forgotten until replaying it that Commandant Steel was a siren.
Oh, I didn't even know that she was a siren.
She's tattooed on the left half of her body and has telekinetic powers as evidence when she puts the key in.
Yeah.
But those are siren tattoos. The phone siren tattoos.
I didn't even make the connection because I just assumed the key was linked and, you know.
Yeah. And so I guess it was practicality, not fluff reasons, but Commandant Steel's model was originally the model for Lilith in early builds of the game, and then they redesigned the character model, and they didn't want to just throw it away, so they're like, meh, there's the villain.
And they threw her away.
I think it's glorious.
I think it's
pretty... anticlimactic things are wonderful when they're anticlimactic. Sometimes it's the sword fight scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and to have the final boss battle be the sword fight scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark was kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
Spoilers for a 20-year-old game. 17-year-old game.
It's not 17.
13-year-old game?
Getting closer. It's only about 10 years old.
It's 10 years, yeah. Because
2009.
Borderlands 2 was 2012.
Yeah, it was 2012.
And then pre-sequel was 2015, I think.
I don't know. I'm an old man. Nothing makes sense.
But, yeah, no. And that's actually where I got my awesome gun. I think it's called Fierce or something like that. It's one of the new starting guns, but it was a level like 37. It's a revolver, and I just own everything with it.
I like our pattern of finishing episodes with 20 minutes of talking about something Dan doesn't give two fucks about.
I mean, that's most episodes.
Yeah. For a while, my last Borderlands statement is that for a while on this playthrough, I was what rocking quad iridium weapons. I had an iridium sniper rifle, an iridium shotgun, an iridium machine gun, and an iridium bazooka. And so ammo didn't matter. I was just swapping between four things to let the other three things recharge.
Okay. I was going to ask how you were doing that. Because
they recharge when you're not wielding them.
Oh,
so it's just like shotgun, 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 switch, machine gun, switch, sniper, sniper, switch, bazooka, bazooka, and switch back. And then shotgun was good to go. Just constantly hitting triangle and shooting things. Triangle, because I was using a controller, as all first-person shooter games should be played with. The thinking man's controller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not this keyboard Mars garbage like some Neanderthal.
I mean, if you have to think to play a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
It's not really a first-person shooter. It's just...
It's first-person and you shoot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, but it's not... I mean, you're not... If I was going against like actual other players, then I would want to keyboard.
Could.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. It's boring.
But if anybody wants to play Borderlands 1 with Andy and or I, I'll go with or because he never plays with me. You can do so on the PlayStation 4. Pretty soon, either or both of us will be moving on to the pre-sequel. I'll either do Athena again, because Athena is the correct player to play pre-sequel as, or I'll play Jack, because they literally have a skill point that does nothing but make you snarkier, and that's the greatest game design choice ever. He's just give you the choice of using a precious fucking skill point just to make him quip more frequently. Yes.
I'm just going to annoy Nathan. I'm going to take Claptrap.
That's fine. I mean, you don't play with me anyway, so why would I care? Aww.
Yeah, no, I saw you online. I wasn't. Sorry, Dan. Yeah. All right.
Why'd you apologize to Dan? You are sadder to Dan that he has to listen to you talk about not playing Borderlands with me than you are to me for not playing Borderlands with me.
Even though I get enjoyment out of this part.
Yeah. I'm going to cut the fucking thing off your toothless now. You want it cut off.
I do, but not in rage.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You need a happy moil.
Dan?
There's a McDonald's pun in there somewhere.
I can't top that. Just end the podcast.
I got to go home and watch Game of Thrones again.
All right, thanks guys for watching. We'll see you next week.
Toodles.
Bye.
Enjoy Avengers. That comes out before next episode.